Today's shir is Masechta Baba Kama, Daf Kuf Zayin, and we will begin on Daf Kuf Vav Amud Beis, 13 lines from the bottom. Vam Rab Chibar Abba Om Rab Yochanan, Hatoyin Tanis Kana Baveda. What happened here was somebody found a lost object, and the owner of the object confronts the individual who found it and says to him, "Give me back my Aveda." And the person who found it says it was stolen. And he says, of course, swearing falsely to that effect. Misham tashlumi kefil. The halacha is that he has to pay kefil. My timer. What is the reason that he pays kefil in this case? It says the Gemara, the Ksiv, because the pasuk says, "Akol aveda shiyomer." Whenever he says something which is not true, the Torah says, He has to pay kefil. Eisrei, Rav Chiba Mamol, Rav Chiba Abba. The pasuk says, Ki yitenish. If a person gives something to watch to someone else, that's how the Torah begins the parashas Hashomrim. And from here we learn that ein asin es katan klum. That if it's a katan who gives something, it's not considered giving. And as the Rishonim debate why, some say because it's the fact that the person who's giving the object to watch is only a katan, such an individual is unable to give something over to be considered that he gave something over. Another pshat that the Rishonim suggest is that the issue here is that since it's a katan who's giving the object, and a katan is not an individual who could bring someone else to Din Torah to claim that he is has a claim to someone else who's holding his item, therefore it's not considered a situation of shomer. The only katan, which would only teach us that he gave him the object while he was a katan, for tavoy, and he sues the person who is the shomer to give back the item kishu katan while he's still katan. What is the halacha? Nasne kishu katan. If he gave it to the shomer while he was still a katan, however, for tavoy kishu gadol, he sues him when he's already a gadol. Menayin, how do we know that in such a situation it's also not considered a situation of shomer? Tamalaymer. Ad alakim yavid varshneim, achtei nesina v'tvia shavin keechad. That both the giving over of the item and the suing for the item should take place while the person who gave it is a gadol. Ask the Gemara, vim isa, if what we're saying is correct, if what we're saying that when we gave something over, when somebody found something in the street, when nobody gave it over to him, the halacha is that if somebody sues him, if the owner of the object sues him and he lies, he's chayif kefil. Why is it worse if the individual who gave it to him is a katan? It should be no worse if a katan gives it versus if I found it in the street. And if we're learning that when it was found in the street, the halacha is all the halachas of Shavuos HaShomrim apply, then here certainly the halach of Shavuos HaShomrim ought to apply. Amalei, so he responded, Hachem Ma'iskin Kishu Kishukotin. Not only did he give it to him when he was a cotton, but he misappropriated it while the owner was still a cotton. And since he misappropriated while the owner was still a cotton, it's not the same versus where he lied to the owner of the Aveda who's a gadol. But what would be according to this? Avakushu gadol mai. According to this, what would be the halacha if, even though it was given to the shomer when the owner was a katan, but the shomer misappropriated it when the owner already became a gadol, then we're suggesting hachinami the mishalim, then the dinim of kefil would apply. Ask the Gemara if that is indeed the din, Ad hochi ad tani ad shtein the scene of a tefiyah shavim kechad. Instead of saying that the halachi is that unless the giving and the deposit and the suing are all while the owner is a gadol, listeni ad shtei achila the tefiyah shavim kechad. According to the way we're learning now, as long as the shomer misappropriated it and was sued while the owner is a gadol, even though he was given it while the owner was still a cotton, the dinim of shomrim will apply. From the way we learned, it seems that even if we have a situation that the owner was a cotton when he gave it to the shomer, even though the misappropriation and the suing took place after he became a gadol, the halachas of shomrim still will not apply. Amalei, so Rav Chiya Ba'aba actually says we have to revise what we learned. And to me, achtei chilav etfiyah shavim kechad, that indeed that is the halacha. If the shomer misappropriated it and was sued while the owner was a gadol, even though it was given to him when the owner was a cotton, the halachas of shomer will apply. That's Rav Chiya Ba'aba's teretz. Rav Ashi says there's a difference. Loi dami, we can't compare the situation where somebody finds an aveda to the situation where somebody was given an item from a cotton. Aveda ka'ashi mekoyek pendas, even though the aveda was not given to the person who found it, he picked it up by himself, but at that time it was owned by a gadol. On the other hand, in the case of the cotton who gives an item to a shomer to watch, halay asya mikayach bendas, at that point it's not given to him from a bendas, and since it wasn't given to him from a bendas, ain the seen as cotton klum, and the dinim of shomer will not apply. There is a machloikis rishonim. The nata with the Gemara establishes, particularly according to Rav Ashi, the ein asinas cotton klum, how far do we take it? Some rishonim say that sometimes we will be able to be mechayiv a shvua based on even if the cotton was the one that gave something to the shomer. The Rimagash says that in a case where the cotton has a claim against the shomer would have to swear. And he explains why. He says, in every situation where somebody gives something to a shomer, and the shomer makes a claim that something happened to it, the shomer, the person who sues him, doesn't know if he's saying the truth or a lie, and yet the halacha is that he can make him swear. Here too, says the Rimigash, even though ain the sinas katan klum, the halacha is that the shomer would have to swear. Similarly, other rishonim suggest that if a katan has a claim against someone else, and he only has an eid echad to back up his claim, and we know the halacha throughout the Torah is that if it's only an eid echad can't make me pay, but an eid echad could force me to swear. If the eid echad is corroborating the claim of a cotton, the halacha will be the same as if he were corroborating the claim of a gadol, and the nitva would have to swear. The Ramban and the Raiva disagree, and they say that a cotton can never make a shomer or someone else swear. And it really goes back to what we discussed at the beginning of the shiur. What is the issue with the nesinas cotton? Is the issue that a cotton is unable to give something to someone else? Or is it that a cotton is unable to force somebody into a din Torah? And here, and that will be the basis of the machloikis between the Rimigash and the Ramban. Based on our Gemara that says, ein nesinas cotton klum, the Mechas Chinuch poses a question. We know that the proper way is that if someone has a Bechor, he should be poida his Bechor with a Kayin when the child becomes 30 days old. Let's say there was a father who had not done a pidyon haben for his son. So certainly that son has to make his own pidyon haben. The question is, does the son have to wait until he becomes a bar mitzvah to effect a pidyon haben? Or can he make a pidyon haben already while he's a katan? Because if Al Gemara is suggesting that ein esinas katan klum, then the halacha would be that even after that, as long as he's not bar mitzvah, he's not able to make a pidyon haben. Similarly, the Paiskim discussed the Shaila as far as the mitzvah of Shalach Manas on Purim, where the Torah says, where the Megillah says, U'mishloich Manas ish l'reyehu, can one fulfill the mitzvah of Shalach Manas by giving Shalach Manas to a katan? Although the Paiskim say that it's not necessarily an exact comparison, the halachas of Shoimrim to the halachas of Mishloich Manas. Continues the Gemara. Amram Chibar Abba Amrab Yoichran. Hatoin Tanis Ganabi Bekodin. Somebody was made a Shoimer, and he says that, and he's a Shoimer Chinam, and the owner of the item approaches him to give back the item, and he claims that it was stolen, he swears falsely to that effect, so he's not Chayv Kefil, says Rav Chibar Abba, Eino Chayv Atchiyik B'Mitzis V'Yoidu B'Mitzis. Until we have a situation of Moidu B'Mitzis. My Tama, why must there be a Hoidah B'Mitzis? Because the Torah in the Parsha of Shai Mechinam says, I'm a Kra Ki Huzeh. And we know that the word Ki Huzeh comes to say only this part, not the entire amount, which this is the source for the halacha of the Chiv Shvua by Moidu B'Mitzis, by partial admission. And the Torah is teaching us this din by Shai Mechinam to teach us that a Shai Mechinam is not Chayiv unless there was Moidu B'Mitzis. Machlokes Rishonim, how to understand what Rav Chibar Abba means. Does Rav Chibar Abba mean, as far as the Chiv Kefil is concerned, that a Shomer cannot be obligated to pay Kefil unless he made a false Shvuah, and that false Shvuah was regarding Hoidah B'Mitzis? But regarding the Keren, he'll be Chayiv even without Hoidah B'Mitzis? Or does Rav Chibar Abba mean that even for the Keren, he will not be Chayiv based on a full shvua, unless it was a situation of moed b'mixus? Says the Gemara, Upligid Rav Chibar Yosef, this statement of Chibar Abba argues on what Rav Chibar Yosef said, and we will, at least at the beginning, learn our Gemara according to the opinion of Rashi. Don Rav Chibar Yosef. Rav Chibar Yosef teaches us, Erev Parashiyosh Kosef Kan. The Torah, so to speak, is mixing in a different subject in the middle of this subject. When the Pasuk says, as we just said, the Ksiv Ki Huzeh, when the Torah uses the word Ki Huzeh in the Parash of Shai Mechinam, which, as we said, the word Ki Huzeh come to teach us the halacha of Maida B'Mixis, and it seems that the Torah is teaching us that a Shai Mechinam Shvua that is Chayiv Kefil for is by Maida B'Mixis, don't, says the Braisa, stay, that's referring to the situation of a Shomer, rather a Milvahu D'Ksiv. It's referring to the situation of a loan. And that if somebody approaches someone else and says, you owe me $1,000, and he denies owing him the money, that the Torah is teaching us, if he completely denies owing the money, then he denies it. And I might smichaveru all of a raya. But if he's Moedim Mixus, he says, I don't owe you $1,000, I owe you $500, there the halacha will be that he has to make a shvua. Ask the Gemara, Umayishna Milva, why is Milva different? And the Rishonim debate, what's the Gemara's question? Some Rishonim explain that the Gemara is asking is simple. What is the reason for this halacha of Moedim Mixus? But other Rishonim, Rashi, the Rashba, don't follow that approach. Because it's not the way of the Gemara to ask why. For it is not for us to ask why. It is for us to ask what does the Torah say, not why does the Torah say it. But rather, the way to understand the Gemara's question, they explain, is that if the halacha is that if somebody is koifer hakol, completely denies owing the money, that he's not obligated to make a shvuah, that every situation of a moed b'mikzus, he should have a migui and be believed when he's a moed b'mikzus by saying, I could have said I owe you nothing. And therefore the Gemara's question is, why does he have to make a shvua? Says the Gemara, k'drava, as Rabbah explained. Dama Rabbah, b'nei ma omra Torah, moed b'mikzus atani yishava. Why does the Torah teach us that a moed b'mikzus swears? Shouldn't it make more sense that if somebody denied the entire claim, he should have to make a shvua more than the person who was somewhat honest and said that I owe you some of what your claim is? Says the Gemara, it's all based on a chazoka that ain't other meis panav of nei bal chayvay. A person will not have chutzpah in front of a person who did him a favor and lent the money, and therefore the high bekuli by the nikfrei. Really, this individual would like to deny the entire loan. So why doesn't he do that? He doesn't have the audacity to do something, to do such an act in front of a person who did him a favor and lent the money. What he would like to do is admit that he owes the money. So why the hide the kaf labor mixes? If that's what he would like to do, why doesn't he do it? Why does he partially admit and partially deny? Sover in midona labor kule tav labor kule. If I will admit to the entire loan, I'll have to pay the entire loan, and he doesn't have the money available. Let me have a delaying tactic. Ad havli zuzu prana, until I'll have the money to pay off. Hilkach rama rachmana shvuale. That's what the Torah says. Make a shvua that we should make sure keich deloy deloy bekule. In order that he should be moided to really that he owes the entire loan. And as the Tosfos HaRosh explains, so if this person really wants to pay the entire loan, just there's a problem that he's strapped for cash at this time, why are we making him swear? Says the Tosfos HaRosh. If we're going to allow him to be able to delay, and he'll say, and we'll trust him when he says, I owe part and I pay part, we're concerned that he's going to say, you know, I got away with it. And he'll then go on with his lies and deny pay and not pay anything. In order to stop him in his tracks, we make him make a shvur, which we know people are reluctant to do, and like that, we'll make sure that he pays the entire loan. Says the Gemara, the gav milva who diklamei mahachi. By milva, there's a concept of chazoka and other meis ponov. Abu kaden, by the kaden, nobody did me a favor that I'm watching somebody else's item. I'm actually the one that's the shay mechinam. I'm actually the one that's doing the other person a favor. So there is no chazok of ain other meis ponov. May is a meis, and therefore there's no reason to differentiate between moedim and mixes and kaifer akol. That's the way Rashi learns the Gemara. It's interesting to point out that the Michtav Eliyahu, Reb Eliyahu Dessler, says that what are we learning here? Especially according to Rashi's explanation of the Gemara. The Torah is teaching us, in the middle of the Parashas Pikadon, we're taught a halacha that has nothing to do according to Rashi's explanation of Pikadon. It strictly has to do with Milva. Interesting situation. What is Pshat? Says Michtam Eliyahu. If somebody writes a book, certainly if he's in the middle of writing about one subject, and in the middle he brings in a totally foreign subject, there's something wrong here. The Torah is not a regular book. The Torah is not a regular chachma. The Torah is the chachmas Elohim. And the purpose of learning Torah, says the Michtam Eliyahu, is not to amass knowledge. The purpose of learning Torah is yirah shamayim, to become a better person. And that is the lesson of Erev Parashiyos. It's not a regular book. It's a different, it's not a regular subject. It brings us to Yirah Shamayim. So as we said, this explanation of the Gemara that we've learned the Gemara with is the opinion of Rashi. However, Tosfos quotes other Rishonim that argue with Rashi. For they have the basic difficulty of accepting the fact that the pasuk in the middle of Parshas Pekodim should have nothing to do with Pekodim. And therefore, the Rabbeinu Tam says, the way to understand the Gemara is not that the Gemara means to say that the halacha is that only by milva is there a din of moed b'mitzvos, not by Pekodim. Rather, what the Gemara means to say is that by Pekodim there's a din of moed b'mitzvos, and only a moed b'mitzvos has to swear, and the same din will be by milva. Of course, we'll have to teach the words of the Gemara differently according to Rabbeinu Tam. The Riva learns the Gemara somewhat differently. The Riva says there are two types of situations that a shomer could deny having the item. What is a situation where he says, you never gave it to me? You come and claim, I should give you back the object that I'm holding of yours. You never gave me a thing of yours. And the other situation, that type of claim is also passable by a halva, where you come and claim that you lent me money, and I could deny ever having received money from you. Then there is a type of a claim that a shomer can make that is unique to a shomer, that is not passable to be made by milva. Nignav, if it was stolen, nenes, there was an oinus. By a loan, if I borrow money from you, I have to return the money under all circumstances. Doesn't make a difference what happened to the money. By a kodin, nignav, by shaymechinam, nenes, by most shaymerim, he's potter. Says the Riva that if the shaymer makes the same claim as a loiva makes, that he was never lent money, there the halacha will be that he's only chayiv by moedim amixis. But if there's a claim which is a claim that's unique to Hilchus Shomrim, nignav or nenes, there the halacha is that even if he's koifer hakol, the halacha is that there's no din of moedim amixis, and he would have to pay the entire, he would have to make a shvuah whether he's moedim amixis or he's koifer hakol. Says the Gemara, Tani Rabbi Bachama. So Rabbi Bachama learned the braisa, and actually, this braisa that Rabbi Bachama learns, explained the achroinim, is part of the reason why Tosfos, the two pshatim that we just quoted from the rishonim that Tosfos mentioned, learned their pshat. Because Rabbi Bachama is now going to quote a braisa that clearly teaches us that even by shomrim there's a halacha moedim amixis. And if there's a braisa to that effect, how could Rav Chiya ben Yosef, who's an amora, argue on a braisa? So if we follow the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam or Riva that by a shomer there's also a din of moedim amixis, so there is no machlokes here, and we don't have a problem of an Amora disputing a Braisa. But if we follow the opinion of Rashi, that holds that according to Rav Chiya ben Yosef, by Shomer there's no din of Moedim Amixis, and now Rabbi Bacham is quoting a Braisa that says that there is a din of Moedim Amixis by Shomerim, how does Amora argue in a Braisa? So Achroinim explained that Rashi is going to have to say that Rav Chiya ben Yosef has other Mishnayos of Braisas to corroborate his opinion, or he feels that the braisa that Rabbi Bacham is now going to quote is not an authentic braisa that needs to trouble him. Tani Rabbi Bacham. So the braisa says, Abba Shomrim, we know that there are four Shomrim, Tzrichin, in order for them to be chayiv, a shvua, we have to have kfir b'mixis v'adav b'mixis. It has to be a situation of moed b'mixis. Ve'lehim, Shomachinah v'ashoyel, noisei socher v'asocher. Amar Rava, my time with Rabbi Bachama, what is the basis of this psak? Shemichinim behedik sebe kiuzer. Because the words kiuzer, which are the words that teach us the halacha of moedim amixis, as we have been learning, are stated in the parasha of Shemichinim. Shemisachar, yalf nesina nesinim shemichinim. We learn exereshav the word nesina, that just like by Shemichinim, it's only by moedim amixis, so too by Shemisachar. Shoyl, which is the Torah uses the words v'chi yishal in introducing the parasha of Yishayahu to teach us vav ma'isav al inyan rishon, and whatever is the halacha by Yishayahu Sachar is also the halacha by Yishayahu, and therefore just like by Yishayahu Sachar you need a ma'id v'mixis, so too by Yishayahu. Sachar, a renter, il man damo, we know as machlokes from Meir Reb Yehuda how to treat a sachar. One man damo treats him like a Yishayahu Sachar, so he'll have the same din as a Yishayahu Sachar. Just like a Yishayahu Sachar requires ma'id v'mixis, so too will a sachar require ma'id v'mixis. And Ilam Adam, according to the opinion that a soicher should be treated k'shem echinam, hain shem echinam, and just like k'shem echinam needs a ma'idah b'mixas, so too will a soicher require ma'idah b'mixas. Continues the Gemara. V'amar b'chi by Yosef. Hatayin tainas ganav b'bikodim. If somebody claims that the bikodim that was left by him was stolen, ein chayif, he's not chayif to pay kefil, at sheyishlach v'yad. Unless he did shlichus yad, unless he misappropriated the item, the Gemara Masechet Bava Metzia brings a machloikus what exactly is shlichus yad. One opinion is just that the shomer used it for his own purposes. Another opinion is that he caused it to go down in value. My tama, what is the reason for Abchi Be Yosef? Damakra for Nikra Balabais Alakim Im Loi Sholach Yodoi B'Melechus Mareyu, to teach us. Mechlal, Dishalch v'yoda mechayiv. If he did shlichus yad, his chayiv. Remember the b'shalach yad askinen that you have to have shlichus yad, and only then, are you chayiv kefil. The hafla points out what does the Mara mean with the words remember the b'shalach yad askinen. The Torah is teaching us that actually you're going to have to make two shvuas. One shvua is that you weren't shaleich yad, and another shvua is that you didn't that it was stolen. The Rishonim ask if the halacha is that you have to make a shvua like everyone else. So why do you have that? You have to make a shvu like everyone else. Why does the Torah make a special shvu for shlichus yad? So the answer, because it's a situation where the other person isn't there a din of gilgal shvu that once I have to make one shvu, I should have to make the other shvu. So it's obvious that he can make me make two shvus. So Rav Farshim explained, because here the mafka doesn't know for sure that I did this, and since the mafka doesn't know for sure that I did it, it's not a situation of Gilgal Shvur. Amler Rav Chiba Abba. So Rav Chiba Abba disputes Rav Chiba Yosef, and he said, Hoch Amr Rav Yochanan. Rav Yochanan said, Bemedes Alavus Hashana. It's referring to a situation where the Shomer didn't do shlichus yad, and he's still chayiv. Amalei Reb Chiya Bar Abba, in trying to understand Reb Yochanan's opinion, what does Reb Yochanan mean to say? Dafka by medas al vusukamar. Does Reb Yochanan mean to say that only where nothing was done to the animal standing where it was all along, there was no shlichus yad, that's when Rabbi Yochanan will say that yechayiv kefil. Aval sholach b'yad, if there was shlichus yad, Rabbi Yochanan will say kono, that already becomes the shomer's object, and therefore shvu loy mahani beklum, the shvu is now an ineffective shvu, and he will not be chayiv kefil if there was shlichus yad. And therefore, there will be a very significant machloikis between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chiba Yosef, where Rabbi Yochanan will say that if there was shlichus yad, you're not chayiv kefil, and Rabbi Chiba Yosef will hold that only if there was shlichus yad, there will be chayiv kefil. Adilma, or the way to understand Rabbi Yochanan is, afila amedes alavusukamar. Rabbi Yochanan means to say, it doesn't make a difference if there was or there wasn't shlichus yad. In both cases, he be chayiv kefil. This is machlokes rishonim. What does the Gemara mean that once there was shlichus yad, he was kona? Rashi says, Once he was shleich b'yad, it becomes the shomer's, and the halacha that he, if he lied about the fact that it was stolen, is irrelevant because it's his item. The halacha of lying about Geneva is only by something which is not mine. But now that he was shleich yad, it becomes the shomer, and therefore the halacha of lying regarding Geneva doesn't apply. The Ravid and the Rosh have a different pshat. They're not ready to agree with Rashi that once the shomer is shleich yad, it becomes completely his. Because he did such a terrible thing and he was shleich yad, now it becomes completely his and he'll be absolved for swearing falsely about the geneva. And therefore they explain that we're dealing here with a shomer chinam. And as we've been explaining, and know the Torah teaches us in Parashas Mishpatim, that a shomer chinam is potter by geneva v'aveda. But once the shomer chinam is shleich yad, that exemption for geneva that he normally has no longer exists. And therefore, by swearing that it was there was a geneva here, it's a meaningless claim because that claim is not a claim that would help him anymore. Amalei, so Chibar Abba says in trying to understand Rabbi Yochanan's opinion, he says Zolo Shemati. I did not hear explicitly for Rabbi Yochanan an answer to this question. However, Kiyotz Bashmati, I heard something similar that could help us understand what Rabbi Yochanan would hold. Don Rav Asi on Rabbi Yochanan. Hatayin Tanis Avad V'Nishba. If a Shem Echinim claims that an item was lost, and he swears to that effect, V'Chaz V'Tan Tanis Gana V'Nishba. And then he swears that it wasn't lost, it was actually stolen. Or by Edom. And Edom come and testify that it really wasn't stolen, it was he who stole it. Potter, he won't have to pay Kefal. My Tama. La Mishum the Kanab Shvur Rishayna. Because when he made the first shvua, it became his. Again, we're learning with Rashi's pshat. And once it becomes his, he can't be chayiv kefal. Similarly, it follows that if he was shaleich yad, it becomes his. And therefore, if afterwards he makes a false shvua regarding geneva, he will not be chayiv kefal. Says the Gemara. So there's machlokes before we go further. What is pshat? Hoyel v'yotza amalei loy. Just go slow. Let's continue. Hoyel v'yotzi de baalim b'shvur rishayna. The reason is because there was the first shvua. And the machlokes, what does this mean since there was the first shvua? The Rambam learns, similar to the previous Gemara, that once there was a shvua, there for sure it becomes the shomer's. And therefore, the second shvua is a meaningless shvua. Another pshat, which other rishayim learn, that since he made a shvua, and Beis Din really ought not to obligate him to make another shvua. As we've been learning, why did he make a second shvua? Probably because it was done in another Beis Din that wasn't aware of what happened in the first Beis Din. And therefore the second shvua is not considered a meaningful shvua. And if it's not a meaningful shvua, he can't be chayiv kefal for that type of shvua. So only there, where it was sort of a meaningless shvua, is the halacha that he won't be chayiv kefal. Whereas in our case, where there was shlichus yad, and then there was a shvua, so the shvua was a halachically meaningful shvua. And since it was a halachically meaningful shvua, he'll be chayiv kefal for it. And that, indeed, is what the Gemara holds, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, it makes no difference if it was shaleich yad or he wasn't shaleich yad. If he swears falsely that it was stolen, he'll be chayiv kefal. It nanami omer of avin omer of elor omer of Yochanan hatan tanis aved begad of nishba. If he first swore falsely that it was stolen, v'chaz the time tanis genev of nishba uba edim his potter. However, yotzi debalim b'shvur rishayna, the two shot him either because it came his or because the second shvur is not really a halachically meaningful shvur. But now the Gemara quotes a third opinion. Omer of Sheshes had time tanis ganav b'kodin. If somebody claims falsely, the shomer claims falsely that the item was stolen, kivin shesholach b'yad, if he had misappropriated the item before he made the shvua, he's potter. So we have now three opinions. We have Rav Chiya Yosef that says he's only chayv kefil if he was shaleich yad. We have Rabbi Yochanan's opinion that, according to Rav Chiya Abba's explanation, it makes no difference if he was shaleich yad or not shaleich yad. And we have Rav Sheshit's opinion that only if he wasn't shaleich yad will he be chayv kefil, but if he was shaleich yad, he will not be chayv kefil. My tama. He has to say that there was no shlichus yad. If there was shlichus yad, then the din of kefil potter would not apply. Omle Rav Nachman, ask Rav Nachman to Rav Sheshes, v'loi shloisha shvuas meshbinosai. We have three shvuas that the Shomer Chinam has to make. Shvuas shloi peshatibi, boy, he has to make a shvua that he wasn't negligent. Shvuas shloi shlachta b'yad, that he didn't misappropriate it, and Shvuah Shenem Rishusi, that he no longer has it. Tosfos explains that why does he have to make all three Shvuahs? Because were he only to make a Shvuah that he wasn't Poshea, so it could be that he wasn't Poshea, but the animal is still in his care. So we have to, it's still on in his possession. So therefore he has to swear that he no longer has it. But even if he swore that he wasn't Poshea, and it's no longer in his possession, we still don't know. Maybe he misappropriated it, and once he misappropriated it, the loch is that claiming that it was stolen no longer will exempt him. That's why we have to make all three shvus. There's also machloikas rishonim, when the Gemara says that he has to make all three shvus. Does it mean that the Torah obligates him to make all three shvus? That's if the Shomer Chinam wants to be exempt from paying, he has to make all three shvus. Or, as the Rambam learns, that really he only has to make a shvua that it was nignav or nenes. That's the only shvua that's midaraisa. The Rabbanon made, because the Rabbanon expanded and said that, not, as we just explained for why they did that, that not only does he make a shvua that it was nignav or nenes, he also makes a shvua shloi sholach b'yad and shloi poshba. Says the Gemara. So now Rav Nachman makes his argument to Rav Sheshes. My lav shvua shloi shlacht b'yad, dumi the shvua shen v'shusi. The shvua that he didn't make shlichus yad is similar to the shvua that it's not in his possession. Just like if he makes a shvua that it's not in his possession, and then it turns out that he's lying. Kimagalia milsa the isa b'shusay. If it turns out that he's lying, chayiv will have to pay kefil. Af shvua shushlachta b'yad. Same thing about the shvua that he misappropriated it, that he did misappropriate it. If it turns out that he did misappropriate it, kimagalia milsa the shalach b'yad chayiv. So from here we see that if we're comparing these two types of shvus, so if we find that he lied about not having it in his possession, he's chayv kefil, then the same thing is that if he lied about not misappropriating it, and afterwards he finds that he did misappropriate it, he's chayv kefil. Amalei, so Rav Sheshet says, no. As we just said, he has to make three shvus. You're comparing the shvua regarding shlichus yad to the shvua regarding shvua sheni b'shusi. It says, don't compare those two shvus, rather compare the shvua of shloi shlacht b'yad duma delo shepeshatiba, to the shvua that he wasn't negligent. Ma shvua shloi peshatiba, regarding the shvua that he wasn't negligent. Let's say kimagali milsa d'poshaba. Let's say it turns out that he was negligent. Just because somebody is negligent, still, he doesn't have to pay kefil. He's part of the kefil, because kefil is only paid if he stole it, not if he was negligent. Af shvua shloi shlacht b'yad. Similarly, when he makes a shvua that he didn't misappropriate it, even if it turns out kimigali milsa d'sholch b'yad, when it turns out that he did misappropriate it, that doesn't make him chayv and kefil. As Rav Sheshes argues, he remains potter mikefil.